All right, welcome you all on this new moon, Indigenous Day. In this moment in time where there's just so much going on politically and I'm sure personally as well. So let's just start with a breath to transition into this space. So get into a nice seated place. And just roll your shoulders down your back. You can open and close your jaw. Scrunch your eyes closed and open. And then find a gazing point or close your eyes. And if you find a gazing point, just really focus on just looking at that one place and not letting your eyes wander. And if you close your eyes, why don't you focus at the place in between your eyes as the place where you're concentrating if you're closing your eyes. And just breathe up and down the body. And just acknowledging the context that you are inside of, the space you're physically inside of right now, or the space you are showing up in, your emotional space, spiritual space internally. The day of this Monday, what came before, and then inhale, focus at the heart, and imagine that as you're inhaling, the heart is ballooning up into the largest capacity that the heart can be. And just keep breathing until you can't inhale anymore. And then exhale, just let the heart rest inside of your chest. And again, inhaling, feeling the capacity of the heart expanding, and then exhaling. And then one more time that way, inhaling. Until you can't inhale anymore, and then exhale. Now we're gonna do that again, but we're gonna hold our breath for one count, and we're gonna go up to six. So inhaling, the most breath you can breathe inside the heart. And once you've inhaled the most that you can inhale, then hold the breath for one. And then exhale. And then continue to do that, just lengthening the hold. So the next time you inhale at the heart, then you hold for two breaths. And then exhale, hold for two counts. And then just continue to go up to six on your own. When you've completed that, just breathe into your heart and just notice how your heart feels, how your body feels. When you're ready, you can come back. And if you're on the phone, I did mute you during that time. So everybody is muted. You can star six yourself to unmute if you're on the phone. Okay. I'd love to check in with everybody with this question. What are the cycles that you're breaking right now, and what are the ones you're creating? And if that feels like, oh, I don't really want to answer that question, you can just generally check in.
I'll check in. I feel like I've been sort of in a rut about doing things, like either meditating or journaling or things like that, that are like just to like release some energy. And I never like go out dancing, and this weekend I went dancing with some friends. And after that, I was like, so there's so much more. It was so much easier to do things like, oh, even though I was really tired the next day, it's like I can write things down or reflect on things. And I felt like I had more space to do that. And it was like, it's like, let off energy or something. So I felt that's something that I was thinking about.
Thanks, Anna. Let's say our name too, just so that folks on the phone, yeah, know who's talking.
I can go. This is Kat on the phone. And I think an ongoing larger cycle that I'm working on breaking is attaching kind of that core self-worth to productivity and doing unconsciously from that place of wanting to be worthy or down or whatever, and having that be much more just filled with like a larger love that connects us all as just a worthy being, like, you know, we're beings on this planet. And to try and have the things that I choose to do be really come from a different place than that. I'm not sure totally what that place is yet, but that's the cycle I'm working on.
Thanks, Kat.
This is Willa. I feel like I'm trying to break a lot right now, but the biggest one is around isolation. Maybe I've spoken to in this group before, but I feel like especially, like I'm good at asking for support when I feel like I'm having an emotional like crisis, then I'm asked for a little bit too much support. But in terms of my work, I feel like I want to get it perfect before I share, like around some of my organizing or writing. And I do a lot of donor work, and yeah, I feel like I have a lot to share, but I don't because I'm scared of it. So I've been in more like healthy relationship with the way that I'm just sharing and allowing myself to be seen and allowing myself to really participate in a learning process rather than, yeah, sort of holding it until I quote unquote think I have it right. Like, that really hasn't been working for me for a long time. So putting more effort into breaking that cycle. And, so that cycle feels like the new cycle feels like participating and it's also around commitment, like really giving myself fully to what I'm doing rather than having sort of a foot out the door all the time.
Thanks, Will. Sure, many of us can relate.
Totally. Yeah. And the more I share that, I actually realize how I'm not alone in that. So it's been cool.
I can go. This is Melissa. And I think, as I think about this question, I realize I'm, although I've thought of myself as being really embodied over the last 10 or 15 years or so, I think I'm right now in this place where I am really focusing on my body and not on figuring it out or like making the connection, you know, okay, my body feels this, so what does that mean? And I've just been swimming and not then coming home from swimming in the morning and then doing meditation but kind of just letting that be what I'm doing, what my body has been really needing to move and express. Like, I wanted to break some shit, but I couldn't figure out like how to break shit because I live in the city and I thought there's surveillance cameras everywhere. I can't go out and like throw some eggs at something or break plates or whatever. But I can swim laps, you know. I probably should have went dancing. That would have been good. And I, even my yoga practice in the morning, I've just been letting it be what it is. And my spiritual direction, I met with my spiritual director this week, and I hadn't met with her since before I went away for most of the summer. And I just, my body just had a lot of rage pent up that needed to come out. I feel kind of free. I think now that I'm talking about it, I feel kind of free to just be like letting my body take the lead and not having to explain it. Maybe that's distancing. I don't know. But because I feel like I kind of had some resistance to some of the questions and everything for the last 2 weeks. So, but that's just what it feels pretty. It feels pretty good to be in this place right now. I feel energetic, more joyful. So yeah, check.
Thanks, Melissa.
This is Megan, she, her pronouns. Sorry, the lighting is kind of funky here. I have been pretty disconnected from all of this because I just moved states and started a new job in the same week. But I think a pattern that I'm working on breaking is operating around a scarcity of time. I think one of the biggest challenges for me in like a day-to-day living and the impact on my experience. So that is a lot of like letting go of things that I would like to already be finished or that are on the list, and try to let go of the list, or just be okay with things being undone. So how little I did of this and missing last session, I think, speaks to that. And I try to really enjoy slow time, but then I'm also trying to be good at being efficient. I mean, I'm always good at being efficient, so I'm trying to like carve out efficient time so that I can then have plenty of not efficient time. And I think there's another piece around like judging or being okay with sort of now being in a really different space and a new city and different work community. I have so many things I'm just used to or kind of expectations. So being okay with taking a step back and seeing my, kind of trying to define a role that fits within what's needed in that community. So that's sort of where I'm at.
Thanks, Megan. Welcome to Boston. I mean, I'm not in Boston. I'm just welcoming Megan to Boston.
I can go. This is Erin. Biggest patterns that I've been breaking. It's probably been at least like 5 years of trying to break it with like a lot of relapses throughout the years, but it's my people pleasing and caregiving tendencies in order to like attach and connect with people. 'Cause I know that I had like through all of that, I wouldn't really allow myself to be myself. I didn't even know who I was. I'm still like trying to figure that out, but so I think the part that I'm, or the patterns that I'm creating, are to like stop myself, like not totally stop caregiving for people, but stop myself when it's at a detriment to myself. So like, for example, yesterday I was like really close to buying my sister, and I have like a history of taking care of my sisters who are both older. But I stopped myself from buying her like this medication to help her with a head injury. And instead, so it would have, it would have cost me money that I didn't like have, I wasn't planning to spend. And so I just like texted her about it. Like, hey, try out this medication. So, it's definitely a process. And I know that I don't know if Willow was saying that she's holding back, but I really identified with that. I know that I'm playing small. I have a supervisor who says, my supervisor is saying that she knows that there's a lot more in me and that I'm playing small. And so that it's really nice to have that support and have someone who sees me and knows me or knows that there's more in there. That's where I'm at.
Thank you. So many things. I guess I'll share minimally. I've been thinking a lot about consent recently, and the consent that we do or don't have in relationship. And I'm not just talking about romantic partnership, I'm talking about in our relationships with our colleagues, our comrades, our community, and our romantically, But specifically what I've been thinking about is, for myself, I think I operate with a lot of like trust up front and an assumption that there's like equal trust right away without really, having clear expectations communicated in relationship. And then I end up being disappointed. or I, you know, kind of act out of a place that word is not there yet in the relationship. So I've been thinking a lot about that word consent and trying to like break out of a cycle, to break out of a cycle of just moving so quickly in relationship, in my words, in my actions, and to like think, take a pause and like be more embodied and move more intentionally. But that is, it is a hard thing to break out of. Because we live in this quick world. So that's something that I'm like sitting with right now. And just trying to build, yeah, intentionality and rooting. So today's the new moon and it's in Libra, which is about justice. So I wanted to read from this tarot deck. It's called the Slow Hauler. This is the Justice card. It's actually called Intersection in the Slow Hauler tarot deck. And the Slow Hauler tarot deck is a queer Appalachian tarot deck. Unfortunately, it's not available for purchase. I think they did a Kickstarter and then they were all sold out. So I want to read this and do a kind of a deeper practice on justice and like what that means for us in our lives, but also is connected to restoration and rest. So I'm going to do a resting practice. So let me read this. This is the Justice card. Accept responsibility, make larger connections, see the invisible, stretch beyond your solo self, be an agent of change. Intersection deals with accountability, responsibility, and the ability to understand the impact of your actions on other individuals and collectives. While the Guild describes the ways we're shaped by the groups we belong to, intersection speaks to our activities within these groups. Here, from your place in the web of interconnection, you can see the concentric circles of impact that ripple out from your actions and choices. Intersection asks you to recognize yourself as the co-creator of the worlds you inhabit and to accept the consequences of your decision. Think of a spreading fungus in a forest whose dense interweaving network rebalances energies from abundant places to those that need it. How are you intuitively or unintentionally affecting the balance of energies in your environment? Intersection asks you to remember your interconnectedness with humans and other beings around you. It can reference a crossroads, a time when you are asked to make a crucial decision with far-reaching impact. It also draws attention to the order within a seemingly chaotic flow of activity. Notice the deep and complex network of roots beneath the leaves and debris, and not just the superficial disorder of the forest floor. I got cows and dogs behind me, y'all, okay? I'm in Tennessee. Staying at a farm right now. Okay. It's not working. All right.
A farmer just walked by behind you, too.
What is happening? I love it. Oh my God. It feels good to be here, though. All right. So let's just take a moment and just jot down any things that kind of come up from you or that stood out, words from that reading. I know it was a lot. I'll also, I'll send you all a picture of it tomorrow. And just wrap up your thought. Okay. Y'all back? Does anybody need more time? No. Okay. All right. So we're going to do a seating practice, restoration practice, and then seeding, tilling of the soil, composting. Also called yoga nidra. And what it means is that you need to be laying down. So you do not need to see me. You only need to hear my words. So why don't you get into a place and you can turn off your, you know, you can like put your screens on off if you wish. Great. And just get yourself into the most comfortable laying down place as you possibly can. So I really do want you to take the time. We don't need to rush into this. I do want you to take the time to make sure that you're comfortable. So if you need another blanket or you need an extra pillow underneath your knees, but can you just be the most comfortable so that you can really relax and lay on the ground, you know, for a good bit of time. So I'm going to give you just like a minute to do that. If you have to go to the bathroom, now's a really great time to go ahead and go. Should not do this if you have to go to the bathroom. So take care of yourself. And once you get on the floor, I'm going to wait another 30 seconds to really begin. But once you get on the floor, just, you know, breathe a few times into your body. Just allow yourself to completely relax on the ground. Okay, we are going to get started now. Closing your eyes. Again, take a check. Make sure that your body feels comfortable and relaxed. If you feel any strain anywhere, see if you can find another pillow or blanket to put underneath your head, underneath your knees, underneath your arms. And just take a few deep breaths into the body. And exhale out through the mouth. In this season of justice, in this new moon of justice, when there is so much injustice in the world and so much doubt and fear, internalized oppression, supremacy systems that live inside of us. I want you to truly feel the support of the ground underneath your entire being. Beyond the floor, and beyond the wood, the beams, see if you can locate the dirt, the earth, and feel her supporting you, holding you, holding your whole being. Allow your whole being to be supported by the ground. From everything that we've come from today, to every cycle that we're working to break, to every challenge in relationship with ourselves, every challenge we have with the world, let us release the battle and the action and be held in the resting of the ground and the earth. Feeling your brain settle in your skull. Feeling your face relax. The front body and the back body. As though your whole body is taking a breath, all the organs, the skin, tissue, bones at the same time, and settling into being held the earth. In this season of justice, in this season of building a better world, connecting to a world more beautiful that already exists, in this time of becoming and creating the future we want and need, what intention would you like to seed and plant in the soil, the deepest holding of the earth? Take a moment and hold that seed in your body and plant it in your heart or your stomach or your mind or someplace else. Say it 3 times to yourself, your intention. I plant whatever it is. See the seed glowing like a golden light. Allow it to beam to the top of your head, growing roots. Allow the hair on top of your head to relax each follicle. Allow your skull to relax and breathe, being held in the earth. Feeling your cheeks, your right cheek and your left cheek. Hollow and release. Your chin, your forehead, and your nose. Breathing into your right eyeball and then your left, and allowing each to release and relax inside of your face. Breathing into the top lip and the bottom lip, your teeth, in between your teeth, your tongue, your entire face completely relaxes. Allowing the right ear and the left ear to completely release and relax. Allow your whole face and head to be soft and held, completely supported. Feeling the right side of your neck and the left side of your neck, the back of your neck and your throat. Allowing your voice to settle, strain to fall away. A tendril of the roots from the golden seed of your intention are holding you steady and still. Your right shoulder relaxes. Your left shoulder releases and relaxes. Your collarbone and the space in between your shoulders. Melts into the earth and is held in her cradle. The chest releases, the upper back. The midsection of the body. And your lower back. Feel the support of the earth. The right hip and the left hip. Your pelvis. The whole torso completely releases into the ground and is supported by the strength underneath you and around you. The upper right thigh and the upper left thigh. Underneath your right thigh and underneath your left thigh. is relaxed into the ground. Your right knee and your left knee completely rest. The right calf and shin, and the left calf and shin are held in complete and total support. The golden seed of your intention knits together your body in release and restoration. The right heel, the right ankle, and the right foot. The left heel, the left ankle, and the left foot. The whole of your right leg. And the whole of your left leg completely release and relax. Your right upper arm, your right elbow, release into the earth. And are held in still grace. Your upper left arm and your left elbow are held. Your lower right arm, palm and fingers, in between the fingers, are relaxed. The lower left hand and arm, palm, in between the fingers, experience the support, the ground underneath you. Your entire body is being held and supported. Now bring your attention to the space behind the eyes, the blank space. Watch this space as though you are watching a movie screen. Observe any patterns or shapes or colors in the space behind your eyes. Continue to watch the space behind your eyes. Now observe a feeling of coolness at your skin and the feeling of warmness that also exists. Experience coolness and warmness as it's showing up for you right now at the same time. Observe the feeling of softness and hardness in your body, on your body, and around your body. Observe softness and hardness at the same time. Experience the top of the body and the bottom of the body. Observe how it feels to be surrounded by air and to be supported by the ground at the same time. Become vaguely aware of a feeling of justice and liberation in the world and inside your body, and the hardness of injustice and oppression that exists at the same time. Take a deep breath into your entire body, feeling the support of the ground holding you steady. Recall your intention and observe the seed like a golden light, the center of your heart or stomach or wherever you placed it. Watch as the seed glows in roots, and the roots covering the internal parts of your entire being, top of your head, tips of your fingers, bottoms of your feet. Imagining a golden web extending out from the seed of intention that you have planted. And then see it grow outside of you, connecting down into the earth, up into the sky, into the hearts and people and places that you are a part of and that you are building towards. Take a few more deep breaths as you say internally your intention 3 times. You can now begin to exit out of this practice by deepening your breath and making small movements with your fingers and toes. You can take the time that it takes for you to come out. When you are ready, you can go get a drink of water or tea, stretch a little bit, or spend a little more time here. We are going to take a small break, and we're going to come back at 7. Nope, sorry, I'm on Central Time, 8:10 Eastern Time, 7:10 Central Time. And oh goodness, 6:10 Pacific time, but take your time. Welcome, welcome. Great. We're just missing Kat. But maybe Kat had to leave, I'm not sure. Okay. So I think I just want to say something about that practice, and then I can open it up if anybody has any questions or comments, and then we'll move into some of the other content from our work together. So, you know, I think just, I was really, yoga nidra is just such a great practice. It means deep rest, and it really works to get into the subtle body and the deep layers of the psyche and energies of your body. And yeah, I mean, it's a practice that I've like definitely returned to often. I think it's when I look at our movement for change right now, I think everybody needs to be doing yoga nidra, like so, like at least once to three times a week. And it's definitely like a deeply internal practice. There was a period of time where I was doing yoga nidra like every day for like 40 days, and I just kept doing it, and then I was very low. So it can definitely like bring you to a low place. But when your body is tired, when your mind is tired, when you're doing so many things outwardly, it's a really good restoration, like internal practice to regenerate some of the things that have been lost in the giving out. What else do I have to say about it? I think that's all. I mean, I definitely like led a like different version of it specific to, you know, what we're talking about in terms of justice. And but basically it's just working to really relax all the different parts of the body and the different subtle body layers, and then get into the subconscious, which is that place like behind your eyes, and then regrounding yourself and feeling like the both and of things. And the intention is, the idea with nidra is that you kind of use the same intention over and over and over again. You can work it that way, or you can also just, you know, switch your intention. But the idea with the intention is that you're seeding something over and over and over again until it starts to really take root in your life. So, any reflections or questions about the practice?
I definitely fell asleep. Is it the, I'm guessing it's the type of thing where I heard some of what you said while I was asleep. But I've never been able to meditate lying down because I fall asleep, and sometimes even sitting up too. But any advice or wisdom on that?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a fall asleep practice many times. I mean, I definitely fall asleep. I think one thing is to like maybe like prop yourself up a little bit more. It's also the end of the day for some of us who are in Eastern Central Time. But the idea with the nidra practice is even if you do fall asleep, you still get benefit from it. Because you're still like subconsciously hearing the relaxation. The idea is to stay awake, but
I also I think woke up and became alert like 5 minutes before you stopped, but then was like, did my computer disconnect? And like so I think I told you something. Oh no. Okay. You know, so that makes
yeah.
it hard to think.
For sure. That also happens. It seems like if you do fall asleep, you seem to wake up just before it's over. Has anybody done this before? Did I do it with you, Erin? The Mystic Soul?
It was through the resilient
yeah. practice. Yeah. It's kind of slightly.
Save.
Yay. Save. Mm-hmm. Yay. All right. Any other questions or reflections about that?
I think that, like, I've been trying to do a lot today, and I guess the doing the practice, it was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely like sick, you know, like, so just that noticing of like, oh, I feel really heavy, and that my ability to be like relaxed into like, I'm like, I'm not really gonna sit up now, and that's okay. Like, so it just feels like a really good noticing. And one of the things, like, I don't usually fall asleep, but it's that sort of subconscious place where it's like, ooh, like, I can't really hear for a little, and then like float back up to hearing, and then go into some like imagery and with something about like potatoes that started happening. So, like, baked potatoes, which I'm supposed to make tomorrow. So there was some, like, but it didn't feel like distraction as much as sort of, like, subconscious space coming through. So that's cool. I haven't done this in a while, so. Yeah. That's what I noticed.
That's cool. Okay, anybody else? Can we move on?
This is Melissa. And I think for this, in this practice, I was so excited when I saw the email earlier that said we were going to do a longer. So I was really ready for this. And like Willa, like you're almost asleep, but you're awake. Whenever I do this, and it feels like a place of imagination and openness that I don't like normally have a lot of access to. So I really love it. And just like your voice is enough to keep, you know, keep me like remembering, like I'm not actually sleeping. I'm staying awake for this. But enough to kind of then let myself drift into that subconscious. So yeah, thank you. Check.
Mm-hmm. Kat, did you have anything to add? I know you're on the phone. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, no, I appreciate everyone sharing. I think I did fall asleep, and also it was kind of interesting what came up in the seed, like way softer intention than I normally run around thinking about being fierce. So that was really, that was powerful right now, like the enormous importance of softness and value in that. And I was got distracted some and just brought myself back. And then I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. So I really wanted to do that today because, you know, I don't think I know. We're in a collective healing moment, and there's a lot of fierceness and a lot of rage and a lot of pain that's coming up for a lot of folks. And, you know, regardless if that's personal for us, or, I mean, I think it is all personal, but, you know, as like people who live in the world, it's like we feel that, and there's so much that's not reflecting the values of the world that we want to live in right now. So I think in these times of high urgency, of which there are so many high urgent times, it's like the time we're living in, it can be so hard to integrate and soften and be still enough to really root the things that we're wanting to plant and build. Which leads me to a world more beautiful content. Last time I'd asked if you would reach out to a partner, which may or may not have happened. That's totally cool. But I just wanted to bring that up. And also there was a ritual to create. And then we started the first section of forgiveness, which was kind of a heavy section around some of the self-doubt that we're carrying. So I'd love to open it up for folks to share, reflect, have questions. What's coming up for you around any of those things? This is Melissa. I'm just going to keep it real. I got to the part about the rituals, and I was like, my office is such a fucking shit show. I can't even, like, how could I even have a ritual in here? It's like a mess. It is a mess. I couldn't even, like, I mean, I have, like, a little ritual, but I have to go out on the back porch to do it because my workspace is so disgusting. Like, I'm just going to show you. See? So I just was like, I need to clean this place up. And so I just like put some time into, I got like a new desk, step one. And I'm trying to like, I got rid of like two boxes of books. And that is what I did. So I feel like I'm on a good road.
that was as far as I got with a ritual. Like, I got so stuck on what my space was like that I had to stop there. And then I went, tried to go on to the altar of forgiveness, and I read the first question, and I was like, whoa, I'm not really ready for that right now.
Gotcha.
I want to be, but I was not quite
ready. It's okay. It's kind of a big section.
Check.
Thanks for sharing about that. I mean, I think that that's really like, I don't know, there's something for me about space that's really important. As a Cancer, and I mean, a little bit of what's happening right now is that we're just in an uprooting. I mean, we're uprooting systems, we're uprooting, you know, individual like cycles and ways of being and habits and behaviors. And I mean, everything's called into question and magnified in this moment, in this year, in these last 2 years, in these last 5 years, in this last decade, in our lifetime. And this question about space is just really important in terms of what is our space? You know, what's the place that we're building and creating, whether that's like in our home, in our office, in our bodies. Yeah. So you were talking about earlier, Melissa, in terms of like really embodying. So sounds like a beautiful place to start.
I'll jump in quickly and say it. Not because I've been unpacking and not doing any meditation. while I said the pattern I'm trying to break is the sort of not having enough time and just focusing on the list, I also have, it's really hard for me to be to be able to slow down when space feels like it's in so much chaos or transition. And it's actually really exciting, like setting up or being able to create a space. It's the first time I've ever had my own office, like small office space. And that's really exciting, like setting that up and trying, and like creating an energy around a space. But that makes me also, it also feels like that incredible privilege and maybe like unrealisticness too of needing to have like be grounded in space, and like how do you be grounded when you're in transition or how many people's lives like do not have like physical space. So it also is like, again, my incredible privilege and like, actually haven't moved much. Like I grew up in the, like my mother still lives in the house I was born in. So like that's like, so rare. So yeah, that's came up for you and I was listening to Melissa, thanks.
Thanks, Megan. I think that brings up a, you know, a good point in terms of, I think we often have ideas, and I feel like this was brought up last session around healing, when we had a discussion around healing, these ideas about like, oh, to do healing, we have to have like all of these things set in place, or like all these things need to be happening, or all these ideals that are often like way larger than we ever really, like our day-to-day lives are able to really show up to. So I guess I just want to offer, I think what you're sharing is really important, both, the acknowledging the ways that space and place, like physically is like a privilege and like access to that. And then also the ways that we can find space and place inside of our bodies and with each other and with the natural world, like no matter what our actual physical space and pace, place looks like. I think there's such an anchor that can happen with, you know, coming back to just really small things like not checking, you know, all the social media on your phone, like in between meetings, and, you know, just getting in your car and like it's silent, or being on the subway and, you know, breathing or whatever. You know, I think there's like so many small transitional moments that we have every day to like find the anchor. And it's so easy not to do that. Like, it's easy to check out. And, you know, one of the things that I just really strongly believe, and I've seen and I experienced with my own self, is that if we are really doing this change-making work, if we're really invested in shifting and changing, then like every moment matters, you know, and every interaction like is an opportunity to weave that into the world and into our lives. And like, you know, we're human. And so like, we're going to forget that like every day, multiple times a day. I mean, presence and being present, I think, is such a huge gift, and also such a hard thing to experience. But I like to think about the breath oftentimes as a big anchor in transitional moments that, you know, can happen all the time. And thanks for that, Megan.
I'll go ahead, Naren.
Who's talking? It doesn't matter to me. Okay, I'll just go. Because he said go ahead. This is Erin. I didn't accidentally, but I signed up for this. I was bored, like waiting with a patient at like an eye doctor appointment. And so I was just like scrolling through social media, and they must know that I'm into self-care recently, because they like advertise these self-care boxes. So I ordered the first one intentionally, and then it like got me the second time, and it was fine. Like, it's all good stuff, but it's just like, I don't need to do this. This feels weird. But in the box, there was like this little bracelet with, and I've always probably wanted something like this, but one of them you can like soak essential oils in or put a couple drops. And I just found this like within the last week or two, since moving. And I was like really stuck. I was like, oh God, I don't know what to do. Rituals, like morning, I do like breathing meditation, which is fine. But like during the day, my schedule is so chaotic that I'm like, I don't necessarily know if I'm going to be in my car or with a patient or anything like that. So, but then I was like, wait, I have this bracelet and I can just smell it. Or I can put like, I can take a couple moments and put a couple drops of an oil on it. And I put an oil on it today. It actually still smells like it. The other one didn't like stay in it, but yeah, I'm going to try it out. But it kind of like is annoying on my wrist, like when I type, so it may not work out. Maybe I'll set it aside.
Thanks, Erin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, I worked with a you're a social worker, aren't you, Erin?
Like a social work nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some years back I worked with a social worker, and this question of like, how do I create like ritual and like stability? And actually the thing that we came up with was wearing jewelry, like certain stones, as like grounding places, like on her body, to remind her of like the things that she wanted to be connected to and the steadiness that she wanted into her life. It's interesting.
Yeah, I've been like collecting jewelry lately. It hasn't been a thing of mine, but I wonder if like it's kind of like a part of me is like, I need something. That's cool.
I mean, my transparency is like I am super behind on the homework, and I'm not putting that, I'm not like preventing, and I still feel like I am getting a lot out of the calls and like being in the like collective energy of this. And so I'm just going to respond to what other people have been talking about. Because I've been in a transition that actually has given me like less physical space and more, like, but more shared space, which has been a really cool, like, I'm part of this community, Shakti Rising. So like, I live in a house with 10 other people, and then I have, and there's another house with where 4 people live, and then there's a shared workspace. So it's just been interesting for me of like how to sort of what I spoke to in breaking cycles. Like, I am used to having a more like private place that I live or that I work, and I'm not having that right now. So like, how do I ask for what I need? Like, the place that I live in, I like can't really have calls in, which is a big part of my work. And so to be, to like have to challenge myself to lean on other people for my spatial needs is challenging, but actually it's been really more grounding and connecting than the isolationism that I like was doing before. And then like having this weird thing, like, okay, sort of my computer is one of my spaces. So how do I like tend to that? Cause I tend to like be disorganized on my computer, and that doesn't help me. So just thinking about, even like my headphones, I just like that I use in my computer, like one broke, like one side is broken. It's like, why don't I just tend to that? Like, it would support me in these, like a little thing that like makes things run more smoothly and feels like actual practical self-care. Like, oh, I'm tending to myself and this matters, and like my ability to show up well matters. But in terms of everyday rituals, and it's like I ask the same opening questions in a lot of my calls, like grounding questions. So that helps, like, I intentionally create a little ritual with basically every person that I talk to. It's like, oh, here's some opening questions, and let's do takeaways. Like, that helps ground me in, like, that structure is, like, held in my day, and the container of, like, ritual that's mostly, again, right now, collective ritual that happens throughout the day. But I guess holding that container in the way that I work, I feel really grateful to do that. And I feel like it surprises people, and it like does take time, but usually people are grateful for it. And like it helps ground me. So yeah, ritual life hack.
Nice. Thanks, Willa. I think what you just shared about the computer and like spending so much time in virtual space, it's really helpful for me. I don't think I think about it sometimes, but I definitely spend a lot of time on Zoom phone calls and on the phone, which I think is different than a lot of people's work is more in person, but then there's a lot of people who, you know, and I think we don't have a lot of, I don't know, like there's, it's like that, this is a new age that we're living in, totally. And we're designing like as we go along. And so it's like, yeah, like it totally makes sense. And we're all sitting around a table, like we're having an opening checking question, but sometimes like when we're on the Zoom or like having a phone call, it's just like, okay, right. Technology like takes away sometimes personal, and like we just have to be so intentional in that. I know you can relate, Melissa, I think, because you're mostly virtual too. I'm not sure about other folks, but good reminders. Anybody else? Anna?
Yeah, when she said the computer thing, I was like, yes, I've been really feeling that. Like, I just feel like a lot of my work is, like, not necessarily virtual, but, like, doing things on the computer, like, doing things with, like, just doing computer work. And sometimes I feel like my world just gets really small. Like, the space between my face and my computer is, like, the whole world that I live in, or my phone. And, like, it just, it's, like, such a, it just feels really physical, even though it's really not physical. And today, one of my coworkers and I left, and we went and got, like, fast food and sat in a park by the river to eat lunch. And sort of, like, we were talking about social media, and we were talking about, like, really unhealthy mental, like, habits we have. And it was really nice. And it's not something that we could do every day, but it was nice that we, like, usually on Mondays we'll go and, like, try to, like, leave the office and just, like, catch up. But it was really nice to, like, physically be in a really open space and to feel like we're having a really candid, you know, like, a really, like, open conversation. It was really, like, a nice break from feeling like super, like the world is just getting smaller and it's like everything is terrible. Like everything on the computer is terrible and like that's everything that I have. So it was really nice.
Thanks, Anna. Kat, do you have anything?
I appreciate the conversation about the computer too. In fact, I spend a lot of time on Zoom and then other video conferencing things, which is part of why I'm not on it for this, because I'm so tired at the end of the day of trying to create that space, I guess. And I didn't really realize how exhausted I am by that. And that, you know, bringing some intentionality and thoughtfulness to let's create intentional space here, you know, with check-ins and, but also like beyond that, like what could we do? So many people are using this as a way of connecting, and it's in some ways, you know, creates a connection even if we're not physically together. But what, how could we enhance that and not just use the technology but really bring our values into it? So I appreciate that. On the, I really went to the ritual, like changing up my morning ritual with the questions and the homework and shifting the space, and it hit really right on time with me, I think, in a major kind of thing that I'm going through with the recent death of my father, and just being ready to make that shift actually, and feeling like changing the ritual in the morning is a part of bringing the grief, like being in the grief and with the grief. And also I'm doing a lot of like accompanying with my mother and like creating my own space in the grief and transitioning my spiritual practice with the grief. I don't know. Water came up big for me, and balance, and really not, I'm actually usually a really literal person when I have like goals or want to focus on something. It's the images I write and stuff are very literal, and it was really not very literal, which I was like, oh my gosh, maybe creativity is emerging or something. That felt good. I have no idea. The middle of the day ritual I've aspired to for years and not at this point brought a lot of ritual in the middle of the day. So it'll be interesting to see if that unfolds in my life. Just trying to be easeful about that with myself. I think like stepping up in the middle and like lifting my head up and going to, you know, higher, like a place around values and intentions would be really good for me and help the way that I move forward in the afternoon with each moment and such, and I don't do it. So that is a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kat. Yeah, and I think just to give a, maybe it was not clear, but I think that offering is like, what are some different rituals that can happen? And like, as a toolbox thing of like, oh, I'm going to pull this out now for the morning, or I'm going to pull this out in the afternoon. Not like, you have to have a ritual all the time, like throughout your day. And I think going back to this, like, actually both what Erin had shared in terms of this having, you know, jewelry and like what you're wearing. And then also what Megan and I think most other people were like talking about in terms of actually Melissa too, everybody talking about space. You know, this altar forgiveness section is also the idea that like our bodies are an altar, like our spaces are an altar, like our relationships that are an altar, like they're reflections of like who we are and the intentions we want. And so how can we show up to things in that way? And ritual is like another way of like, you know, an altar for your like day, a space of intention for your day and like how we're holding space in that metaphorically, you know, that's what it's all about. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be elaborate. Like, it can just be like, you know, a breath exercise. Like, you know, just that breath that I think I've done it for the last two sessions now, where you're like breathing at the heart and like the biggest breath you can breathe, and you're holding it there, and then you're exhaling. And you know, that intention of like breathing at the heart, which is the place of, you know, love and nourishment and the imagination and so many things, creativity, is the place that gets so depleted often. You know, it's the place of what we're giving out so much. So can you know, even just like inhaling and holding the breath there is like holding a little bit more of that inhale of the out in, and less of the like just giving out. Even something like simple like that, or another very small, simple practice that I love is looking at the horizon, like looking forward and seeing the left and the right and the wholeness of the horizon. It helps expand our feeling of connection in the larger world. Essential oils. And then also I really highly recommend tinctures. If folks are not into tinctures or haven't really tried them, they are life. They can be total life. Dore Midnight has some amazing tinctures. Has a liberation tincture. Has a Between the Worlds tincture, which is like a very like for like, you know, healers and caregivers. And then there's also a queer, what was the other one?
I want to shout out my friend.
Yeah.
A Corpus ritual, which is based in New York, which is queer, amazing. She's a breath worker, healer, awesome person.
Bones Patterson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
More tinctures.
So many tinctures. I really go through that so fast.
Yeah. And I think herbs in general, you know, like skullcap is a really good herb right now, to take, because it helps like kind of like feels like you're like grounding down into the earth. Tulsi and holy basil. Tulsi, nettles, just like, you know, doing the extra things to like really nourish the body, because I think we will go through cycles of burnout, like regardless of how much we are taking care of ourselves or not. And that's part of the cycle. And I don't think burnout's bad. I think burnout does help us burn. And then, you know, prepares the earth, ourselves, our bodies, our lives, our work for something new to flourish. And we can't stay in a perpetual cycle of burnout and like, you know, ongoing. It wears on us too much. If we're going to be in the work of change making, which is trauma work, then we need to show up to it as though we are, you know, taking care of ourselves to the best of our ability to be able to show up to the trauma of other people and the trauma of ourselves that's coming up over and over and over again. So anyway, I've just found, especially in the last year and a half, like herbs have just like really helped me. Taking supplements, taking tinctures, tea, herbal tea. Anybody else have any shout outs or things that have like really helped them?
Oh, I'll keep this brief because I already shared. This is Melissa again. But I was just thinking, you know, I used to smoke and I always found time like throughout the day to go smoke no matter what was happening. And it was awesome. But it was like fueled because like your body actually wants you to smoke. So there's the benefit of nicotine is that it like is an urge that is beyond you that reminds you to go do this. And so I was trying to just think, well, I used, like, what would be that now? Because I don't smoke. Like, what would remind me to do it? And I was thinking, I wonder about hunger. Like, I wonder if hunger or thirst could be something that is within your body that I could, like, pay attention to as a moment of, like, bringing myself back to presence. Because, yeah, you can always find time for a smoke break. So, like, what would stop me now from doing a smoke break that doesn't involve nicotine? Yeah, that's all. Check. You're muted, Jardina.
I was just going to say, such a good point. And I was also a smoker in my former life. And I just remember that smoke breaks were the best. Because, like, you took a break for 10 minutes.
And I agree.
People understood.
And sometimes it was social, like, with a little crew of rebel smokers.
Yep.
It was good.
We need to come up with a new name.
Good or point.
A new circle of something.
I did one other thing this week that was really helpful. I made a separate Instagram account. It's really dumb. It's my cats, but it's like all this is just like pictures of my cats. And then the only people I'm following are like either like really gentle self-care accounts or like my friends who comment about how cute the cats are. And it's like so nice to be able, so I still have another account that has more like political things or things that I think are, that I know will like reflect the political climate, which is nice to have, but I also like being able to opt out of that if I just want to like zone out for 5 minutes. Then it's like getting to choose was helpful because I didn't feel totally comfortable disengaging, but being able to be like, you know, my friends are like, wow, your cats, then I comment about how cute their cats are. It's like very, it was a more wholesome way of like dealing with social media for me this week, so I wanted to share that.
Nice, Anna.
Yeah, just like shout out to herbs. Like, I like taking the time to, like, where I live, we have a little apothecary, which I've had like personal ones before, but just even getting to like choose which herbs I'm called to that day. Like, it's even just a little bit more than just putting in a tea bag. Like, and then getting to interact with them in a different way always feels good. And that's like one that can happen throughout the day, or at least in the afternoon. Or sometimes when I feel like I want more coffee, I'll just take like a 5-minute walk.
I really agree with that. This is Kat. I like the asking, like even just walking outside, any access to open space or in my morning and saying, oh, who wants to like doing the act of talking with the plants and or herbs and interacting and seeing what comes up is so magical, and it reframes. And I also love that animal Instagram idea. And I do have on Pinterest a baby animal like board on Pinterest where none of my political people are even active. And I love my baby animal. Like when, especially if I'm in a really stressful situation, I often open the baby animal Pinterest board.
I know, I feel like I hide on Pinterest too. I'm like, please nobody follow me on Pinterest. I'm just like, I'm in my own little Pinterest world. Maybe I should have like a different name on Pinterest or something. All right, you all. So are there any questions or anything that's coming up for folks around? It seems like everybody is like in resistance to like moving into grief and forgiveness right now, which that's totally fine. Like, I hear you. I will say it's not all heavy. Really, the first section, which was what was done last week or, you know, scheduled to be done last week, was the heaviest part of it. Then you move into affirmations and you move into the forgiveness, the altar of forgiveness meditation. So anyway, all of that is available whenever for you. Any questions about any of that? No? Okay. Let's close out with a gratitude practice for something specific that someone brought to the session today. So we'll start with Melissa. Listen, this is how it's going to go. Melissa, you're going to give gratitude to Anna. Anna, you're going to give gratitude to me. I'm going to give gratitude to Willa. Willa's going to give gratitude to Megan. Megan's going to give gratitude to Kat. Kat's going to give gratitude. Oh, geez. I'm trying to think who said their name a lot. It was going to be you, Aaron. Kat, do you remember anything that Aaron said? Aaron was the one with the bracelet.
I actually have a... Okay, bracelet. Thank you. I have a hard time figuring out who's who. Thank you for that.
Okay. Okay. So you can just say one thing about some specific gratitude that you had for that person. Does everybody remember who? Who do you give gratitude to?
Will I do Melissa at the end?
Yes, yeah, sorry. The loop. Yes.
Complete loop circle.
Yeah, so Anna, I want to thank you for reminding. I think it was you. So this is terrible, but the Zoom can be like this. But I think that you said that you just danced. That you said that, right? Yeah, and that was, and you like lit up when you said it, and it sounded like it was a wonderful thing, and you listened to yourself, and that even though you retired the next day, that was really life-giving, and that inspired me to go dance. Thank you.
That makes me so happy, Melissa, that you said that, like that you noticed that. That's really nice. Jordana, I want to appreciate or give gratitude for the meditation. It was like, I think other people reflected on the kind of like being able to exist between consciousness and like something like less, I don't know, in the world. And I felt that, and it was really like timely for me. So I really enjoyed that today.
Thank you, Anna. I see Kat left, but we'll figure that out when we get there. Yeah, Willa, I think, like, you know, I really appreciate your presence and your showing up. Like, follow through is, like, really to be. Oh, Kat's back. Great. Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I think you just, like, show up. You know, when you, like, commit to something, you just, like, show up. And also, like, I just appreciate you, like, taking care of yourself in the showing up. And the honesty and the showing up, like, hey, y'all, like, I'm not really feeling well. And like, hey, I'm going to like lounge on the sofa. And like, that's what I'm going to do. And, even the, like, you know, the space conversation, I don't know, for me, when I just really appreciate a lot of the ways that you show up and in your honesty and authenticity. Thank you.
Thank you. Megan, I feel gratitude for your share about space. I feel like just seeing the or hearing the way that you're really intentionally going about this unpacking and setting up your space. And I know it's chaotic, and like, I know you have a young child, and just like gratitude for the ways that you, like, even though you have to whisper, like, you're here, like, showing up for yourself. And I know that that's really important to you. And I just appreciate being in space with you. And yeah, specifically this, like, oh, how your share made me reflect, because I'm still in some unpacking phases. And like, how do I want to bring more intentionality to that? So thank you.
Thanks, Willa. Kat, even though I can't see you, I feel like your voice has, I like resonate a lot. You carry, to me, it feels like a lot of energy and joy in your voice, which I really appreciate. And, oh, my battery, sorry, computer's about to die, but, I also appreciate your sharing about trying to balance the computer space and choosing to not be on Zoom right at the moment, but being so present and connected in the conversation.
Thank you. Should I jump in? This is Kat.
Yep.
Okay. Erin, I appreciate the creativity and the real intention, and it feels like kind of like soft determination to bring some pause and breath amidst a really challenging work and life dynamic, it sounds like. And I also really appreciated, it really helped me think about that, which has been something I've had a lot of kind of excuses and rationalizations around, honestly, and it's like, okay. I appreciated the persistence and the creativity and the way that you also embraced what came to you, like the bracelet. I loved also that you said, I appreciated you saying, I was there waiting and I saw another self-care thing, and I didn't need to do that right now. And I felt also really refreshed by that boundary. Like, we don't always have to do more and more and more self-care. It just felt like, oh, embrace what came my way. And I actually really didn't need to do that. So it helped me just, it felt, it was like a release. So I guess I felt a lot of balance and creativity in what you shared today. And I appreciate it, and persistence.
Thank you, Kat. One of my oils is called balance. Melissa, I feel like over the course of however many weeks, I've like sensed this energy shift in you. And I'm really grateful for that, because it was kind of hard for me to see you. Just knowing you a little bit outside of this, but it was hard to see how much like intensity you were going through, and to see some of that being released, and then even like your baby steps and your honesty of like, my space sucks. And I really appreciated that you swore, because that makes me so happy. But yeah, and now I'm like looking at my space and all the clothes on the floor, and I'm just like, you know what, I should probably fix this place up a little bit. I'm grateful for some of the release, and then you mentioned swimming too. That like motivates me to go swim more. So yeah, thank you.
All right, let's take a deep breath. Giving yourself appreciation for the ways that you showed up tonight. And then take another breath, giving appreciation for the ways that everybody else was able to show up tonight. And then one more breath. and sending out some love into the world. All right, thank you all for practicing and for sharing and connecting and being together tonight. I will send out an email tomorrow with the recording. I'll be kind of hovering on Facebook if anybody has anything they want to say. If you don't, that's totally fine too.
Will you send out that the Facebook group thing again?
Sure. I totally can. Yeah, I mean, it's really all good. I just wanted like a way, oftentimes when I lead these kind of groups and then people are like, we want to connect. And then I don't really have anything set up. So I wanted to do that this time. So anyway, it's there. I know Facebook is a, you know, sometimes we just need a break from the Facebook. So no pressure. Okay, I will send that out in my email tomorrow to y'all. Have a beautiful night. Take good care. Drink water and tea.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.